I'm 13 years old and I'm a transgender kid, and this is what I want to say to the Prime Minister.
I'm asking you a very specific question. Do you believe Obergefell was correctly decided?
Each of the justices have declined as a matter of judicial independence to answer questions in that line of cases.
Did you ever express your opinions about same-sex marriage?
I don't recall.
With the crimes you've been fixing, you could be another Nixon if you only got impeached.
I think the market would crash.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. India's colonial sodomy law finally falls. Outspoken trans kids schools Australia's new prime minister, and Kavanaugh sidesteps U.S. Supreme Court questions. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 8th, 2018. India's Supreme Court has finally overturned the anti-queer provisions of Penal Code Section 377, the remnant of British colonial rule that made same-gender sex a crime. The second most populous country in the world, behind China, where gay sex is not specifically outlawed, is believed to have the second largest LGBTQ population, estimated at 78 million people, making this the biggest decriminalization of private consensual adult same-gender sex in history. The unanimous five-member High Court panel issued its ruling on September 6th that anti-queer provisions of Section 377 were unconstitutional and a violation of privacy rights. Those convicted faced prison terms of up to 10 years, and activists have been fighting to overturn the law since the early 1990s. A Supreme Court ruling earlier this year affirmed the constitutional right to privacy, which paved the way for the repeal of Section 377. Banner front page headlines such as Love at First Right, Rainbow Nation, and Independence Day celebrated the verdict in most of the nation's newspapers. An English-language newspaper for India's Muslim community called the ruling a step towards self-destruction. A right-wing Hindu nationalist newspaper insisted that homosexual acts are not natural. But Chief Justice Deepak Misra wrote in the ruling that we have to vanquish prejudice, embrace inclusion, and ensure equal rights, and that beliefs of the majority about morality cannot dictate constitutional rights. Provisions of Section 377 against bestiality have been retained.
A spokesperson for India's ruling BJP party, which had refused to take a position on the issue during the court proceedings, said that the government would support the decision. But several lawmakers have said they oppose granting further rights to LGBTQ people, such as workplace anti-discrimination protections or marriage equality. So, after dancing in the street in several Indian cities to celebrate the decision, LGBTQ activists say their work is just beginning. Section 377 of India's Penal Code, first implemented in 1860, served as a template for similar laws throughout much of the former British Empire. Colonial governors in Asia and Africa used the language of India's Section 377 to outlaw so-called unnatural acts, generally understood to mean anal sex or sodomy, while in the Caribbean the laws were imposed against buggery. Legal challenges to anti-gay sex laws are pending in the African nations of Kenya and Botswana, both of which inherited versions of India's penal code during their colonial periods. Similar laws were overturned in 2015 in Belize and in 2018 in Trinidad and Tobago. Same-gender sex remains illegal in 71 countries. In more than a half dozen countries, convictions can bring the death penalty. That includes Iran, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and parts of Somalia and northern Nigeria. Members of the so-called Islamic State in Iran and Syria have also brutally executed LGBTQ people.
Two women who were caught having sex in a parked car earlier this year were caned in a Malaysian courtroom this week. Their punishment had been delayed due to what authorities called technical reasons. Malaysia has a dual court system that punishes Muslims for violations of Islamic law, which include harsh penalties for infidelity and homosexual behavior. It's not clear how many strokes of the cane the two Muslim women were forced to endure in the northern state of Terengganu, but they were reportedly struck six times by a female prison officer. Malaysia's Star newspaper reported that the older woman didn't wince, but that the younger woman sobbed as she was being caned. Each woman has also been fined the equivalent of more than $1,000 and will be jailed for 4 months if she can't pay. Same-gender sex is banned in secular Malaysia as well under laws that date back to British colonial rule, which lumps it with bestiality as being against the order of nature. Several global advocacy groups, including Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, have condemned the barbarity of the latest punishments and the steadily deteriorating plight of LGBTQ people in the Southeast Asian country. A government minister recently ordered the portraits of two queer activists removed from a local art exhibit, and police raided a previously untouchable popular gay night spot in Kuala Lumpur. Officials say these efforts are attempts to mitigate the LGBT culture from spreading into our society. Islamic authorities in the large Malaysian peninsula state of Pahang are considering updating their laws to use canings to punish people convicted of engaging in same-gender sex.
In other news, Guatemala's president, Jimmy Morales, unequivocally rejected marriage equality in the most populous country in Central America during a lengthy speech on September 1st. "Guatemala and our government believe in life," he said. "Our government and Guatemala believe in the family based in the marriage of man and woman." Even though civil marriage is already defined in Guatemalan law that way, a bill called the Law to Protect Life and Family is advancing through the nation's unicameral Congress to explicitly ban marriage for same-gender couples. It also effectively curtails the state's ability to promote sexual and reproductive health and education and forbids discussions of non-heterosexual sex. The bill flies in the face of the January 2018 marriage equality ruling by the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, which is binding on signatories to the region's American Convention on Human Rights, which includes Guatemala. "I remind the people of Guatemala," Morales said, "that their institutions and their officials, according to Article 156 of the Political Constitution of the Republic, are not obligated to follow illegal orders." If the Law to Protect Life and Family passes, as expected, activists say they'll sue in the country's constitutional court. If they lose there, they'll seek relief at the Inter-American Court.
A far-right homophobe is leading the polls to become Brazil's next president. Jair Bolsonaro, of the oxymoronically named Social Liberal Party, surged ahead after former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva was banned from running because he's serving a 12-year prison term for corruption. Brazil's current president, Michel Temer, who's not running for re-election, is also facing corruption charges. The 63-year-old Bolsonaro has served in Brazil's legislature for 27 years. He has a well-documented history of anti-queer comments. He said in an interview with Playboy in 2011 that, "I would be incapable of loving a gay son. I prefer that he die in an accident." He repeated that sentiment during a 2013 interview. "No father would ever take pride in having a gay son," he said. Bolsonaro also claimed that LGBTQ activists want to reach our children in order to turn the children into gay adults to satisfy their sexuality in the future. So these are the fundamentalist homosexual groups that are trying to take over society. He also claimed that 90% of homosexual deaths are from drug-related situations, prostitution, or even at the hands of their own partners. And he told Time magazine just last month that if he ever saw two men kissing each other on the street, he would punch them. The first round of presidential voting in Brazil is set for October 7th. If no candidate gets at least 60% of the vote, which is unlikely in a crowded field of contenders, a runoff will be held on October 28th. Bolsonaro was stabbed in the abdomen during a rally on September 7th, and while he's reported to be in serious but stable condition, aides say he would be able to take office if he's elected.
Transgender U.S. whistleblower Chelsea Manning has been unable to secure a visa to enter Australia, supposedly based on a character failure, for several scheduled speaking engagements. A coalition of human rights groups argued that Manning's freedom of expression and human rights work outweighed her criminal conviction for sharing thousands of confidential military and diplomatic documents exposing America's failures during the war in Iraq, for which she spent 7 years in an army stockade before President Barack Obama commuted her original 35-year sentence. Last month, far-right Pentecostal Christian Scott Morrison assumed the office of Australian Prime Minister. Amnesty International issued a press release condemning Manning's inability to get a visa, saying that it sends a message that this new Australian government places little value on freedom of speech. She was welcomed in New Zealand, however, and has appeared via a video link at all scheduled Australian events, including speeches in Brisbane, Melbourne, and even the Sydney Opera House. She discussed her work as a whistleblower and human rights activist, including her advocacy of LGBTQ rights. At one point, the Sydney Opera House moderator referenced her pre-transition name of Bradley Manning. "Please don't dead name me," she quickly interrupted, which was met with sustained audience applause.
And finally, a lawsuit against four members of the U.S. House of Representatives for displaying LGBTQ rainbow pride flags at their offices, which notorious homophobe Chris Sevier claimed to be a violation of the separation of church and state, has again been dismissed. He had targeted California Representatives Susan Davis and Alan Lowenthal, Virginia's Donald Bayer, and Ohio's Earl Blumenauer. A judge tossed out the original lawsuit in March, but Sevier appealed. An appeals court judge dismissed the case again last week, which Congresswoman Davis called a good day for justice and equality. Sevier once tried to marry his laptop to protest U.S. marriage equality.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending September 8, 2018. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at the always evolving thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
High court hysteria in the U.S.
It certainly has our community a little bit on edge.
The contentious Kavanaugh hearings later in the program.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Australia's Liberal Party only just made Scott Morrison its new Conservative Prime Minister in late August, and he's already gotten into an ugly skirmish with the LGBTQ community. In response to an erroneous September 5th press report that teachers were being trained to spot transgender children, Morrison sent out a tweet that said, "We do not need gender whisperers in our schools. Let kids be kids." The next night, a kid wanting to be a kid confronted him on Channel 10's The Project.
Yesterday, you criticised the practice of teachers identifying transgender children. Last night, we received a video from a young viewer who has been an advocate in this area for a long time. This is what she had to say.
My name is Evie MacDonald, I'm 13 years old, and I'm a transgender kid, and this is what I want to say to the Prime Minister. There are thousands of kids in Australia that are gender diverse, and we don't deserve to be disrespected like that through tweets from our Prime Minister. I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of attitudes like this. I went to a Christian school where I had to pretend to be a boy and spend weeks in conversion therapy. We get one childhood and mine was stolen from me by attitudes like this.
What do you have to say to her?
Well, I love all Australians and whatever background they come from. The point I was making was simply this. I want kids to be allowed to be kids, and I want parents to be respected as the parents of those children. I don't think teachers get to take the place of parents and the choices that families make. They are the choices that families should make together. There is a place for clinical advice. There is a place for clinical counselling. But at the end of the day, in our schools, I don't want to see teachers taking the role of parents.
But when you say let kids be kids, isn't this about allowing kids to be themselves, be who they are?
No, I was referring to a practice that has been put in place in schools where others are coming into that conversation and making observations and getting between the role of a parent and that child. And, you know, I believe in family, as we all do. It's a common value across Australia, and I don't think that parents should be supplanted by teachers.
That was Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison responding to trans youth activist Evie MacDonald.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
We could finally all stop drinking if you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
Share a dream with Randy Rainbow after this potential nightmare.
Hope! hope this statement ain't too bold, but here comes the judge. Here comes the judge.
Partisan defiance, 200 arrests, and a dissembling nominee all made the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee's hearings on Judge Brett Kavanaugh to be the next Supreme Court justice a congressional battle royale. LGBTQ and women's rights groups have been at the forefront of protests against the Trump administration's ultra-conservative choice for the high court. They're concerned about just the kind of classic judicial doublespeak Kavanaugh used in response to California Democratic Senator Kamala Harris on the subject of marriage equality. He actually managed to cloud her query about the court's historic marriage equality ruling with a citation from the ruling that supported discrimination on religious grounds.
The question is very specific. Can you comment on your personal opinion on whether Obergefell was correctly decided? It's a yes or no, please.
In Masterpiece Cake Shop, and this is, I think, relevant to your question, Justice Kennedy wrote in the majority opinion, joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito and Justice Gorsuch and Justice Breyer and Justice Kagan, the days of discriminating against gay and lesbian Americans or treating gay and lesbian Americans as inferior in dignity and worth are over.
Paraphrasing. Right. Do you agree with that statement?
That is the precedent the Supreme Court agreed with by
Sir, I'm asking your opinion. You're the nominee right now, and so it is probative of your ability to serve on the highest court in our land. So I'm asking you a very specific question. Either you're willing to answer or not, and if you're not willing to answer it, we can move on. But do you believe Obergefell was correctly decided?
So each of the justices have declined, as a matter of judicial independence, each of them, to answer questions in that line of cases.
So you will not answer that question?
Following the precedent set by those eight justices, they've all declined.
Thank you.
When asked to answer that question.
From the moment the Kavanaugh hearings were gaveled into order, Democrats on the committee challenged the Republican majority's refusal to release over 100,000 pages of documents from the Supreme Court nominee's judicial record. Among those blocked documents are writings from Kavanaugh's time serving in the White House, and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker tried to get answers about his participation in the Bush administration's anti-marriage equality plan.
When you were in the Bush White House, did you have any involvement in Bush's effort to support a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage?
So, Senator, when I was in the White House, that was part of the something that he talked about. Of course, at that point in time.
Did you express an opinion about it then yourself?
Yeah, as staff secretary, things related to that, speeches he gave would have crossed my desk, as I've discussed before.
I'm not privy to your documents at that time.
Right.
Did you ever express your opinions about same-sex marriage? Documents that I do not have privy that will one day come out.
I don't recall. Of course, at that time, as you're well aware, Senator, there's been a sea change in attitudes in the United States of America, even since 2004, as you're well aware.
But your opinion, I don't need Obama, Cheney, just will you express to me your opinion on same-sex marriage?
I don't recall.
I'm not asking your opinion then. I'm asking your opinion now. Do you recall your opinion now on same-sex marriage?
Well, the Supreme Court in Obergefell.
Well, your opinion. I don't know. Maybe I didn't get the record. I don't know if you've conducted gay marriages. I don't know if you've been to gay marriages. What's your opinion?
I'm a judge. I apply the law.
Have you conducted a gay marriage?
Have I conducted
one? Presided over one, officiated a gay marriage.
I have not.
Okay. But you don't want to tell me your opinion on that issue?
I apply the law. The law of the Supreme Court.
So you're going back there. I want to move on as quickly as I can.
Replacing Judge Anthony Kennedy with Brett Kavanaugh would signal a major shift, according to Jeff Zarrillo and Paul Katami. The California couple were plaintiffs in the Proposition 8 case.
It certainly has our community a little bit on edge. Justice Kennedy had certainly left a legacy on the court for protecting minorities, especially the LGBT community, by writing the Lawrence decision, the Romer decision, Obergefell, and Windsor. So he has always referenced the importance of equal human dignity for LGBTQ citizens. And that's something that we want to protect. Going forward, we might not be worried about marriage equality, and certainly we can't predict that sitting here today, but we certainly should be concerned about a gradual chipping away of LGBT equality. Maybe you want to refer to seeing more cake cases. You know, you might see things like that with regards to religious, what I don't like to call it religious freedom, because let's call it what it is. It's a religious exemption. That's what concerns us most moving forward for our community.
It's not a question of your faith being an issue that that is in your home or in your community. It is about the faith of these people that are then using it to create law that prohibits other people from equal access. And we know when we're standing in front of that courtroom and in that courtroom, equal justice under the law means equal.
The one thing that Justice Kennedy always referenced in all of his opinions, dignity. Human dignity. That's all we were looking for when we went to the Supreme Court, and that's all our community is looking for today and moving forward.
GayUSA's Andy Hum and Ann Northrup may not be attorneys, but their summation for the prosecution against Judge Brett Kavanaugh says it all.
His papers are being hidden. He's being allowed to sit there and lie.
Lambda Legal Defense and the Windy City Times, the LGBT newspaper in Chicago, have filed a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, for his papers from the Bush years, all the ones that have anything to do with homosexuality, because in the Bush years, of course, there were proposals for the federal marriage amendment and support of marriage amendments in the states across the country. So we'd like to know, because his record and his opinions on gay issues are not very well known.
Well, it looks like abortion rights will be severely trimmed, if not taken away entirely. Same-sex marriage can be trimmed, if not taken away entirely, but maybe, in some states, and labor rights and environmental rights.
We're already losing things across the country with Trump's economic policies and his support of religious freedom amendments. Discrimination is rampant. Protections are being eliminated, and that has not changed his course.
Whenever Kavanaugh is involved in a split decision, 87% of the time he sides with the powerful. And his main qualification is that presidents are above the law. That's why he was picked.
Well, sure, that is now, exactly why.
He was talking about his dedication to the homeless. He does serve in a homeless shelter. He feeds the homeless all the time. And he was talking about, and these are our brothers and sisters and this kind of stuff. And through no fault of their own, they're out there. He doesn't mention, did he ever look at the fact that they are disproportionately gay people, adult homeless people, and youth, of course. But I'm sure that didn't even occur to him.
Now, I'd like to think that we saw Kavanaugh's true character in that flash of rejection and turning away from the father of the girl killed at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. That was one of the most chilling moments I've seen in a long time.
He's a gun nut, this guy.
And not only did he turn away and reject the guy's handshake the moment he realized who he was and what he was saying, but he then sent security back in to get the guy removed from the room. It was just chilling is the best description,
well,
I think.
And
hideous.
Very heartening to see all the protesters there. Almost everybody who waited online to go hear the hearings were people who wanted to protest. Was your cheering section, Mr. Kavanaugh?
That was Andy Hum and Ann Northrup of GayUSA. The Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to vote on Kavanaugh's confirmation on September 20th, with a vote by the full Senate the following week. And finally this week, another dose of satirical relief from Randy Rainbow.
We are back, and I'm joined now by a very special guest, the President of the United States. Are we still going with that title? Yes? They're telling me yes? Okay, still good. Welcome, Mr. President. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you must be very busy cleaning out your desk. It has been quite a dramatic news week for you.
They make up lies. I've seen it many times. They make up things.
I mean, two former employees convicted, one implicating you as a co-conspirator in his crimes, a public feud with your attorney general, friends and allies, even doormen flipping on you left and right.
I know all about flipping. For 30, 40 years, I've been watching Flippers.
Such a good show.
Look, I didn't know Manafort well. He wasn't with the campaign long.
Well, then why don't we start with your former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen?
I always found him to be a nice guy.
Were you aware of the hush money payments he is now saying were financed by the campaign per your instruction?
They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me, and I tweeted about it. You know, I don't know if you know, but I tweeted
I know.
About the payments. But They didn't come out of campaign.
Did they come out of the campaign?
They didn't come out of the campaign, and that's big.
Huge.
Because that could be
illegal.
A little dicey.
Or illegal.
But they weren't. That's not a. It's not even a campaign violation. If you look at President Obama, he had a massive
pecker. David Pecker, your friend and CEO of the National Enquirer, has recently been granted immunity in the Cohen investigation and is said to have a lot of dirt on you.
I don't know. I've always had controversy in my life, and I've always succeeded. I've always won.
Well, some say you're about to win, most likely to get impeached.
I'll tell you what. If I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash.
If you ever got impeached?
I think everybody would be very poor.
Why, if you ever got impeached, you would...
You would probably start crying, then rehash all the lying and rhetoric you've preached. All the Dems would be smirking. Jim Acosta would start twerking if you ever got impeached.
If I ever got impeached.
You could just give in to Mueller, then go and get some color by lying on a beach. This is all natural, right? With the crimes you've been fixing, you could be another Nixon if you only got impeached.
I think the market would crash.
You'd be through and take with you our worries and our strife. You'd return to only burdening your wife. And we'd resume a normal life. Find a lawyer, cause you'll need one. Write a book or learn to read one. Or get your eyebrows bleached, cause... Just relax at the spa, go fuck yourself at Mar-a-Lago when you, if you get impeached.
I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a great job.
You'd be more than implicated for laws you violated and protocols you breached.
Because without this thinking...
We could finally all stop drinking if you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
We would dance and sing and revel. No one else has hit the level of infamy you've reached. Giuliani could retire. Pence could join a gay men's choir if you ever get impeached.
The president did nothing wrong.
When you flee, take Huckabee. And finally I'll be calm. I'd ask Michael Avenatti to the prom. And Kellyanne could move to Guam. More than half the country's waiting, so think about the ratings. Cause when you gave your speech, we would all tune in to listen. You could finally go to prison.
I'm not involved. I wasn't charged with anything.
If you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
You can check out more of Randy Rainbow's videos on YouTube or at randyrainbow.com. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and Sarah Sweeney, produced with Brian DeShazer, from Gay USA co-hosts Sam Northrup and Andy Hum, and from Randy Rainbow. Bob Marley and Sammy Davis Jr. performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual donors who make this program possible. Help keep our 30-year streak going at thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media and wherever you get your podcasts. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 3UGE Alexandra Victoria, CFUV Victoria British Columbia, KRZA Alamosa Colorado, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.